Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 12, Number 6. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I reviewed Principle of Sports Nutrition Number 16, Biological Age. Biological age, also known as bioage or vital age, is an objective and comparative assessment of how well we are aging. Bioage measures the presence or absence of damage, whereas chronological age is simply a measure of how long we have lived. The single most important determinant of biological age is muscle mass, followed by strength, basal metabolic rate, and percentage of body fat. To accurately determine your biological age, you need a complete fitness assessment. You have to measure someone's performance, not just accept what they say in a survey about how they think they can perform. You need the actual gravy. On this edition of Clinical Review, and as I'm currently in Hawaii to compete in the Hawaiian Natural Muscle Bodybuilding Championships this Saturday, June 8th, I'd like to talk about something that this area is world famous for, and of course, that is natural light from the sun. Light is critical to our existence. In fact, we are all beings of energy made from stardust, and eventually we shall return and give back to nature what she first used to create us. Reminds me of the adage, don't take more than you give, which in the world of physics, as we currently understand it, equates to perfect energy balance and conservation of energy. The law of energy conservation, or conservation of energy, also known as the first law of thermodynamics, is a law of physics. Conservation of energy means that the total amount of energy in a closed system remains constant. You can't create energy out of nothing, and you can't destroy it. However, you can convert from one type of energy to another, such as potential energy to mechanical or heat energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so in one form or another, we're all going to be around for a long time. Exposure to the rays of full-spectrum natural light is absolutely necessary for general health and well-being. Photons of light penetrate the body through the eyes and skin, affecting endocrine and metabolic chemistry, very important for gland health. When light enters the body through our eyes, millions of light and color-sensitive cells called photoreceptors convert this light into electrical impulses. Well, these impulses travel along the optic nerve to the brain, where they trigger the hypothalamus to release messengers called neurotransmitters. These neurotransmitters, they lift us up and counter the effects of seasonal affective disorder, commonly known as SAD. Many holistic-minded functional health experts are convinced that daily sunbathing is highly beneficial to the body's immune system, and that long-term exposure to fluorescent indoor lighting, such as those predominant in office buildings, is harmful. I personally think of natural light as an essential life-giving nutrient. Everyone reacts to it a little differently and has a built-in limit in terms of genetic tolerance and ability to produce melanin, but everyone still needs their daily minimum dose. Let's call light vitamin L. Now, absence of natural light degrades our immune system, and then when the sun comes out after months of rain and winter and no direct light exposure, a lot of us go crazy and we end up burning ourselves. We burn the epidermis, The skin is made of three layers, each with its own unique construct. The layer on the outside is called the epidermis. The incessant need to get tanned as quickly as possible, that's part of the problem, coupled with intense exposure in a state of dehydration, a poor diet lacking in antioxidants, and the consumption of alcohol and cigarettes equates to massive free radical damage. In those countries who consume the highest levels of alcohol combined with exposure to sun, they have the highest rates of skin cancer. There's a connection absolutely between alcohol consumption and skin cancer. The body can withstand only so much abuse, and when its threshold is maxed, it can't help but break down. Enter the demon cancer. It's an opportunistic, aberrant substance, thing, whatever you want to call it. It's just a name. Don't get caught up in the label. Dozens of the world's most renowned health clinics are located, guess where? In warm tropical regions like Hawaii or the Caribbean, where health and fitness activities abound in the outdoors loaded with light. Are they promoting skin cancer as part of their health package? Or do they know by studying the research that when used correctly in conjunction with fresh juices, natural food and exercise, natural light prevents and even heals cancer? It's a treatment for cancer, believe it or not. Skin cancer also. Natives in the South Pacific are known for their beautiful skin and dark complexion. And it's no coincidence that the skin cancer and acne that they now experience has increased exponentially in direct proportion to their consumption of processed refined food coupled with simultaneous abandonment of their original traditional diet. Do you know anyone convinced by their own experience that sunshine is absolutely essential to their mental health? I know plenty, and I'm certainly one of them. Is it because the brain undergoes physical and neurological changes, resulting in a greater sense of well-being? Of course it does. Without a doubt, the sun nurtures, relaxes, soothes, and energizes the body. It also helps to kill germs and bacteria on the skin and enables our bodies to produce vitamin D to effectively assimilate and transport calcium. Vitamin D is actually more of a hormone than a vitamin, and as more research pours in, we are learning just how wrong the medical profession was regarding concerns about toxicity. A good dose today for adult athletes is about 100 micrograms or 4,000 international units. That's about 10 times higher than the conservative quantities they used to recommend, say, 20 or 30 years ago, commonly 400 units. Of course, the trick is to avoid overexposure to light, but that's easy once you understand and respect the significance of its power, like exercise, for example. You don't work a totally out-of-shape client as hard as you can on their first day in the gym. The best approach is gradual, subtle, and moderate. You take it easy. Provide solid education. Reinforce them, their skill, and let their body slowly adapt to the stress of training over time. Eventually, if consistent, they adapt and get into better shape. Well, that's exactly what you're supposed to do with the sun. Take it easy. Tracy and I are spending 10 days here in Hawaii, and I guarantee that neither one of us is going to get burnt. We take our time, ease into it, gradually increase exposure over time, stay well hydrated, consume plenty of whole antioxidant-rich food, and use plenty of aloe before and after exposure. With light, we must respect our individual limitations and tolerance, but the risk of damage is not eliminated by total abstinence. For example, if you never work out or play any sports, you'll never risk getting any of the injuries associated with those activities. However, if you never work out or move your body, you'll miss out on the joy of fitness and sport, age much less gracefully, literally fall apart, lose your vital capacity, and become more susceptible to morbidity and mortality. Now, recently I watched Dr. Richard Weller give a very interesting presentation on TED Talks called Could the Sun Be Good for Your Heart? Dr. Weller is a dermatologist, and research performed by his team shows that nitric oxide, a chemical transmitter stored in huge reserves in the skin, is actually released only by exposure to natural ultraviolet light, providing great benefit for blood pressure, cardiovascular health, and the entire immune system. Dr. Weller compared this effect to patients taking high doses of natural vitamin D only as a supplement and discovered that the benefits of natural light are far superior. It's the light itself that is essential to the conversion of nitric oxide stored in the skin to more stable and biologically active forms of nitric oxide throughout the blood and circulation. So exposure to light is the key, and once again, science is catching up to what many of us already know. Risk of disease and degeneration is actually much greater if we avoid the sun completely. And of course, no one is saying that we can't get too much. Use the common sense approach and the term coined by English writer Thomas Paine. Be aware of the risks. Respect the sun. Ensure a nutrient-rich diet with adequate antioxidants. Drink plenty of clean, filtered water to remain well hydrated. And if you do use a sunblock, use it knowing that even with the sunblock layered on, prolonged exposure to the rays of the sun can still cause massive free radical damage deep inside your body. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Max Planck, German theoretical physicist, who was credited with the Planck constant and is the founder of quantum theory. A scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it.